A reading from 1 Timothy,
the second chapter. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of Jesus, amen. The church at ancient Ephesus was small and struggling, not so far removed from many of the LCMS parishes that we know today. Even in their lofty status, having been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, the members of Timothy's flock thought far too little of themselves. Not that they should have boasted of their former way of life, but rather of their new identity, now firmly situated in their Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. But alas, they incessantly fretted, speaking more often of their contemporary situation in the language of problems and trials and deficits, much less in terms of restoration and resurrection and abundance. There were external factors over which none had control, and it seemed that that put them in an unrelenting spot of bother. If there had been such a thing as an Ephesians voters' assembly, it likely would have been filled with anxious conversation over their current state of affairs, over fears about what lay ahead in the future. How depressing. We're surrounded by a hostile culture, rapidly headed over a cliff. Immorality rules. It's a cesspool out there. They looked to their pastor to fix it. Reverend, what's your program to reverse our course? How are you going to get more people into the pews? They blame the kingdom of the left. The ruling authorities are damaging our cause. They pointed to the philosophers, the pagans, the false teachers, the Judaizing legalizers. They gazed at their navels. We have know-it-all alligators in this congregation who know nothing of their Bible or catechism, yet constantly do they seem to be stirring up factions and divisions. Whose agenda will win the day? And then they complained about the under-shepherd that the Lord had sent them. Our pastor is too young, too inexperienced to lead this flock. A church that has learned only to look inward, to behave and interact in a manner that is destined to wallow in self-pity, even as its members begin to bite and devour one another, is headed for disaster. Woe is us. We're going down. Look at all of our problems. We're never going to be able to fix them all. I suspect that many of you have experienced this. It's as if a giant black hole draws dangerously near, and every last trace of rejoicing, praise, and thanksgiving is dragged over the event horizon into a demonic, permanent nothingness. The sins of others are magnified and remain unforgiven. Troubleshooting seems to be the order of the day. Fixing problems becomes the overriding focus. Fellowship and mutual encouragement is lacking. Disagreements and disharmony take center stage. The world out there is viewed with dread, and the church turns coward. She becomes merely reactive, weak, defensive, apologetic, inwardly focused, risk averse, reluctant to step out toward her own mission. All of these fears and anxieties pull and tug, demean, distract, de-energize. Time to take cover and hide. St. Paul urges Timothy onto a completely different path. Start with prayer for everyone, even for those who, in your judgment, don't deserve it. Pray for your enemies. Pray for the wicked Emperor Nero. Pray for your family members, for your brothers and sisters in the household of faith. Pray for those who offend you. Pray for those who terrify you. Pray for those in positions of authority, even if they live and work in Washington, D.C. or in St. Louis, Missouri. Pray for sinners who are in desperate need of God's mercy, for that is an all-inclusive list if there ever was one. Prayer in the name of Jesus is the marker, a factual piece of evidence that here lives a baptized Christian and here thrives a Christian congregation, an assembly of the faithful who no longer bemoan their narrowed definition of a weak and sickly future, but are emboldened to look upon this one and trust in him who by his incarnation, death, and resurrection has saved the world and has established his righteousness, forgiveness, and life among every tribe and nation, among every language and people. This Jesus, the mediator man, the Son of God, who leads his children by faith, born of water and spirit, nourished by his broken body and shed blood, bringing believers into the decisive knowledge of his truth and a future filled with his hope. All of this meant for everyone, for all time. This is you, Christ's body. The church, the assembly of his saints, redeemed, forgiven, raised, a people recreated no longer to pity themselves or hide in fear, but rather to look outward in compassion and move confidently into the midst of a fallen humanity living in a broken world. Rejoice, you who are no longer under the condemnation of the law. The prayers of those who prayed for you, prayed for the spread of the gospel over centuries long past, those prayers were fulfilled in the day that you were brought to the baptismal font. The gospel came to you and now continues along its unstoppable course in all of its power to resuscitate and to heal and restore. Rejoice, for such is the overflowing love and kindness of God toward man. He did not hate us or drive us away or bear us ill will. Rather, he was long-suffering and forbearing. In his mercy, he took upon himself the burden of our sins. He gave his only Son as the ransom for us, the Holy One for the unjust, the innocent for the guilty, the righteous one for the unrighteous, the incorruptible for the corruptible, the immortal for the mortal. Think not too highly of yourselves, but dear saints of God, you ought never to underestimate the call under which you have been firmly established as a royal priesthood, ambassadors of him who has calling you to carry forward his precious work given to the church. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. It is in this work, our work of prayer, in all of its forms, that our lives as Christians emerge, where everything is done in the spirit of love, that is, the love of Jesus Christ. And this love leads us into the realm of peace and humility within and without this community of faith. So let us now pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. In the name of Jesus, amen.